That was Layla by Derek and the Dominoes. And Mark, who was that playing slide guitar?
Dwayne Allman.
Dwayne Allman. You're so smart.
I know. One of my favorites.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jim Samari, and welcome to the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, the mighty 101.5 FM. FM.
Good.
Yeah.
And who are you?
I'm Jim Samari. I already said that.
Oh, okay. Buongiorno, Giacomo, and shalom, everyone. I'm your co-host, Mark Plotnick. Each week, Jim and I bring you songs, insights, and interviews covering rock music and more from the 1950s through the 1980s or wherever the music takes us.
This guy, Mark, over here, and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today. And the book features my photography of classic rock era artists from 1973 to present day with words by a real mensch, Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Well, thanks for the Yiddish compliment, Jim. And now that we've demonstrated our multilingual skills, let's get to the theme of today's show. In late July, Chicago's Grand Park is home to Lollapalooza. But today, Huntley Community Radio is home to Pragapalooza. And it's free, unlike the other festival.
Pragapalooza?
Pragapalooza.
Pragapalooza.
Yeah. We'll explain. We'll explain.
Well, we're going to do a show about progressive rock, which I love. And we also could call it Prague for short. But it's such a broad category of music. Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit more about it?
Okay, well, that's what we're here for. So prog rock is a Big Ten term. There are many, many subgenres populated by dozens of bands whose music can be as different as night and day. So here's my own wordy definition of progressive rock. It's music that takes elements of rock, classical music, opera, and jazz, and then enriches the stew with keyboard orchestrations, experimental electronics, complex arrangements, unusual time signatures, and poetic lyrics. Did you get that?
Huh? What? You expect me to understand that?
Well, I thought so.
All right, let me put it in my kind of terms, a lot simpler.
Okay.
It's about pushing the boundaries of rock and roll music by using longer song forms, conceptual lyrics, and advanced compositional techniques. Well, that was pretty complicated, too. It grew out of the 1960s psychedelic music that was experimental in nature. Even pop-oriented bands like the Beatles and the Beach Boys influenced the prog rock movement with songs like Strawberry Fields and Good Vibrations.
Yeah, Jim, I like your definition a lot better. Anyway, at its best, prog rock challenges listeners and takes them on a transcendental musical journey. But at its worst, it can be overly pompous and boring, and sometimes it can be both.
It sounds like us.
Oh, please, leave us out of this.
I'm pompous and you're boring. Okay. And some days it's the opposite. So for today's show, we're going to focus on prog bands that are more rock and pop friendly and that were formed in the 1960s or very early 70s. In a future show, we'll feature other subgenres such as jazz rock fusion like Jeff Beck and Satriani, I guess.
Right, yeah.
So, Mark, you get us going here.
All right, well, let's begin with one of the most commercially successful and popular prog rock bands ever. And that band is Yes. They were formed in 1968, and they hailed from England. Although they had approximately 20 members from five different countries that have passed through the band over the years.
Yeah, they've had a lot of people come and go. But the co-founder was vocalist John Anderson, who is phenomenal. I've seen him a couple times at the Arcata, and I saw Yes back in the day. But John Anderson called their music arranged excitement, which I totally agree with. They resisted the pressure to produce hit singles, but could craft radio-friendly choruses and melodies that generated earworms.
Yeah, and the band has won numerous music awards, including the top prog studio album of all time as voted by the website Prog Archives. So with that said, let's play a song by Yes, Long Distance Runaround from the 1971 album Fragile. We'll be right back. Well, that was Long Distance Runaround by Yes. Jim, what's next?
Next is a band from Chicago area out of Rockford called Aorta. And even though a lot of bands from prog rock came from the United Kingdom, there were a few from other places. And as I said, this group was from around our area, and they were very, very good. And they released two albums in 1969 and 1970.
Yeah, they're actually from Rockford. They were originally named The Exceptions, and they included future members of area bands such as H.P. Lovecraft, New Colony 6, Chicago, The Buckinghams, and the Illinois Speed Press. And The Exceptions morphed into Aorta, and that's when the band took a more progressive turn. Their debut album on Columbia Records merged rock, folk, jazz, soul, and psychedelia.
Yeah, they're a very interesting band, and the cover of their one album is really cool.
Yeah.
And these guys were outstanding musicians who could play anything and almost any type of music. And here's the song titled Cataleptic off their iconic debut album, long remembered for strange cover graphics, as I just said. It's was it like a human chest?
It was a human chest X-ray.
Yeah,
very
really cool.
Very weird. But
well, here's a great song by Chicago area band Aorta.
I'm
The Rockford band Aorta. Well, our next band is among the most thoroughly documented and commercially successful music groups of their generation, and they made the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2010. Who are they, Jim?
I believe that was Genesis. They were formed in 1967, and there was actually two eras of Genesis. There was the more theatrical Peter Gabriel era, which ran from 67 to 75, and that's the Genesis that I love, and I know you love the other Phil Collins era. And then Phil Collins era ran from about 75 to 96. And
yeah, well, I just prefer the Phil Collins era, and that's why today I'm drawing from a song from that time period. The abstract title, Abacab, was simply a tool that helped band members remember the song's composition. For example, A represented the song's verse, B represented the song's chorus, and C represented the song's bridge section. That's basically where they got the name of the song. So here is both a progressive and pop-oriented song, Abacab, from the 1981 album of the same name.
Thank you.
Mark, I just have a really quick question for you. You know, Phil Collins was a child actor.
I did.
You did?
And I do, yeah.
What movie was he in?
I think he was in some Oliver Twist or...
No, he was in A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, that's right.
He was
in the
audience. He was in the audience when the Beatles played. But anyway, trivia, you are listening to That Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, where we play the greatest music of all time.
Well, our next band burst onto the scene in 1969, and the music press sort of scrambled to describe the band's complex sound that appealed more to a listener's head than feet. Rolling Stone called their music brainy gothic metal, and that band is King Crimson. And at the center of the band's six decades of music is the erudite guitarist, Mr. Robert Fripp.
They love their music, love Robert Fripp. The band's talented lineups barely lasted beyond one album. They changed quite often. And a lot of their former members went on to acts such as Yes, Bad Company, Genesis, Foreigner, Uriah Heep, Peter Gabriel's bands, and many others. And they had many, many admirers, including Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain.
And the band's epochal 1969 album, Court of the Crimson King, has one of the most recognizable album covers in rock history, with its neo-Gothic artwork. But today's about the music and not about artwork. So from the groundbreaking 69 album, here is the song, In the Court of the Crimson King.
Tournament's begun. The purple piper plays his tune. The choir softly sing three lullabies in an ancient tongue for the court of the crimson.
That was Court of the Crimson King by King Crimson. Love that song. Don't you, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wake up over there.
No.
Get rid of those hallucinating drugs, please.
That album had quite an impact when I first heard it.
Yeah. Well, now we're going to pick up the speed a little bit here. This is a trio that comes from Toronto, Canada, and, of course, that band is Rush. They were formed in 1968, but it wasn't until 1974 the band's classic lineup of Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, and Neil Peart was in place. That lineup lasted about 35 years until the passing of Pjart, and he was the band's heralded drummer, and he was also their primary lyricist.
Yeah, Jim, and Rush was heavily influenced by the music of Led Zeppelin, Cream, and King Crimson before establishing their own progressive music credentials. The upper register vocals of bassist and keyboardist Geddy Lee are unlike any in rock. Some people don't particularly like them, like my wife, but the band has sold out massive venues around the world with one of the largest cult followings in rock music, and they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2013.
Do you know the story, how he got his name, Geddy?
I do. It's his grandmother.
His grandmother.
Geddy.
Geddy, come in.
Geddy.
His name is Gary, but she'd say in her accent,
she was Geddy. She was an old Jewish Eastern European woman.
Yeah, I saw him
Geddy.
On a TV show,
yeah.
The Dan Rather Show, and he told that story. Anyway, Rush's music remains in constant radio rotation to this day. So let's play one of those anthem-like songs that owes its existence to both Mark Twain and a quirky Canadian poet named Pi Dubois.
That's true. Good.
Thank you. Here's Tom Sawyer from the 1981 Rush album Moving Pictures.
A Monday warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride.
You've been listening to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7.